Good morning. I'm James Schillinglaw.
And I'm Alan Fine.
And welcome to the third edition of ITR TV's Travel in 10, a look at the week's top stories in travel. So let's get started. Now, was it a faulty test or just the inadequate system of testing that currently exists today during the global pandemic? Uncruise Adventures, the small boat cruise adventure company, confirmed last week that 32 of 36 quarantine guests on its aborted Wilderness Adventurer cruise were cleared and released over the weekend and have returned home. Those guests had been quarantined in a Juneau hotel after one passenger tested positive for COVID-19 and the boat had to return to port in the middle of a 7-day cruise, the only scheduled sailing of Alaska this year. The guest who tested positive for the virus returned home just a few days later after Uncruise tested him again and the test came back negative. Effectively, that guest was tested three times, once before he left for the trip, a test that was negative, once in Juneau before he boarded the boat, which turned out positive, and again on board the boat, which turned out negative. Uncruise says it implemented a swift contingency plan and strict quarantine last week after the guest was told by Alaskan health authorities that he had tested positive just before he left Juneau on the boat. The company then canceled its remaining four sailings in Alaska in August, as well as four scheduled sailings in the Pacific Northwest in September. Now, Uncruise says all tests received back from guests and crew were negative and there was no transmission aboard. But the company will cancel the season anyway because Captain Dan Blanchard, founder and CEO of the cruise line, says the adverse publicity surrounding the event had impacted bookings on his line's remaining cruises this year. Unfortunately, the demonization of cruising that has gone on has raised a frenzy, Blanchard says. We had a fall off in bookings for August and September, and we could not operate. So the last 10 weeks have been canceled. At the same time, even though Uncruise took a tremendous hit financially, Blanchard refuses to condemn the testing regime used by his line or Alaskan authorities. He said Uncruise will continue to follow the science and put its faith in the testing process and the validity of the test available today. Even though, on its face, that positive test for the guest that caused the cruise to be canceled would appear to have been inaccurate. On the other hand, Uncruise says rapid COVID testing must be made available across all industry segments so travel and tourism can get back to business. Small business like ours have taken a considerable hit during COVID, and this was a big one, Blanchard says. We have taken proactive steps and understand our responsibility to our guests, crew, communities, and the industry. Safety remains our focus, and we will continue to accelerate protocol standards. Earlier this year, Uncruise founded the Small Boat Coalition with several other small boat cruise lines, and the purpose was to educate the public and government officials on the nature of small boats and the differences needed in regulation. Events like the Uncruise cruise cancellation in Juneau have led some of these small business owners to delay their own cruises while they examine the protocols used and the testing regimes available. In the end, however, Uncruise's experiment in Alaska just might serve to show the system worked in the new age of travel in a COVID-19 impacted world. Alan?
I just feel so bad for Uncruise and all our friends at all the domestic and international cruise lines. I mean, those of us in travel know how hard they're really working to get things right. It's just so unfair.
Well, hopefully they can restart next year and come back strong.
All right. Now, it looks like there will be virtually no cruising for Americans on major cruise brands until 2021. Last week, Holland America paused cruise operations through December 15th. That was longer than the voluntary pause announced by Cruise Lines International Association, CLIA, which was through October 31, and even longer than the Centers for Disease Control's no-sail order through September 30, although that one will probably be extended. Separately, Holland America luxury sister line Seabourn said that it will cancel upcoming voyages for three cruise ships of its fleet as part of its own voluntary pause in the global ship operations. The announcement applies to Seabourn Encore, Seabourn Ovation, and Seabourn Sojourn. Seabourn Encore will pause operations effective through November 25, 2020. Seabourn Ovation will pause operations effective through December 20, 2020. And Seabourn Sojourn will not operate its World Cruise 2021 with a pause effective through May 24th, 2021. Seabourn had previously announced a pause in its global ship operations from March 14th to November 20, 2020. Other brands are extending their pause as well, often well beyond those of the CDC and CLIA no-sail extensions. Are they waiting for a vaccine? Well, we all are, and quicker and more accurate testing too. And then there are those many challenges with the new health and safety protocols, which must apply not only to the cruise ship, but also to each and every port and destination they visit. James.
Well, Alan, while Americans may not get a chance to go cruising on the oceans until 2021, Europeans are actually getting ready to sail in the Mediterranean this year. AIDA Cruises, Costa Cruises, MSC Cruises have plans to start sailing this month or in September. MSC Grandiosa and MSC Magnifica are getting ready to sail this August in the Mediterranean if permission is granted by the Italian government, which is apparently imminent. The company has introduced a new COVID-19 protection plan, which is an additional insurance policy included in fares to cover guests if they become infected. MSC also plans to track guests digitally while on board as part of a contact tracing program. But right now, MSC cruises are only available to guests from Europe, not from other countries. Now, MSC Grandiosa will sail on 7-day cruises out of Genoa to Rome, Naples, Palermo, Sicily, Malta, and back to Genoa. Meanwhile, MSC Magnifica will focus on the Eastern Mediterranean, also on a 7-day cruise, sailing out of Bari in Italy to 3 Greek ports, Trieste and back to Bari. Now, the actual sail dates will not be set again until final approval is received from the Italian government. Now, AIDA Cruises, which is actually a unit of Carnival Corporation catering to the German and European market, is hoping to restart cruise operations after its protocols have been confirmed with responsible authorities. It was already forced to cancel sailings on AIDA Perla and AIDA Mar on August 5th and August 12th because Italian authorities had not approved the cruise line's plan. But AIDA is still hoping to get those two ships in the water this month. And finally, Costa Cruises is taking a slightly different approach with the goal of ensuring maximum safety for guests, crew, and the communities visited. Costa said the September cruises of Costa Deliciosa from Trieste and Costa Diadema from Genoa will be reserved exclusively for Italian guests, with 1-week itineraries calling at Italian ports only. And Costa said the decision was made after considering how the coronavirus scenario has evolved and taking into account the regulation issued on August 13 by the Italian Ministry of Health about mandatory checks for travelers returning from some European and foreign destinations. Now, Costa Deliciosa has scheduled departures on September 6th, September 13th, September 20th, and September 27th, and Costa Diadema is scheduled to depart on September 19th. Now, more details on the itineraries will be announced soon, but Alan, I guess we have to be Italian to cruise now, right?
I'm just glad somebody's cruising.
So am I, somewhere. Over to you.
All right, so the islands in the Caribbean have been opening up for visitors for the past month, but some have apparently decided to shut down almost as quickly as they opened. In an effort to contain the spread of coronavirus, the U.S. Virgin Islands is closing its doors once again to leisure visitors effective Wednesday, August 19, for a period of at least 1 month. Governor Albert Bryan Jr. on Thursday said the territory will revert to the stay-at-home phase of its COVID-19 response for the next 2 weeks, after which time the situation will be reevaluated. According to Bryan, on Monday, August 17, all non-essential businesses and churches have been ordered to cease operations, and the public, including non-essential public sector workers, are ordered to stay at home. Effective immediately, hotels, villas, Airbnb accommodations, guest houses, temporary vacation housing, charter vessels, and similar businesses have been ordered not to accept or book any new reservations for 30 days. As of Wednesday, August 19, hotels and other accommodations are barred from admitting or checking in any guests for 30 days unless the order is lifted sooner. With the recent spikes in cases we are seeing, especially in St. Thomas, St. John District, we must reset, take stock, safeguard human life, and prepare for restarting our tourism economy at a later date, said Commissioner of Tourism Joseph Bisholt. James?
Yeah, Alan, that's such a shame. I mean, I can't believe this is America's Caribbean, and now, at least for the near term, visitors can't go. It's really, the Caribbean was sort of seen as a place that would be safe but increasingly it's becoming apparent that some cases you may not be able to get there, and especially here with the U.S. Virgin Islands. Now, let me turn to something that might be even a little more important for travel advisors, because it's their survival depends on it. Now, a little more than a week after negotiations broke down in Congress and the Trump administration over a second round of COVID-19 government relief, top travel groups are urging everyone to get back to the bargaining table. The U.S. travel industry is renewing its pleas for leaders in Washington to finalize another coronavirus-related relief package, without which, it says, the prospects for the overall U.S. economic recovery look increasingly grim. A report prepared for the U.S. Travel Association by Tourism Economics finds some disturbing jobs figures and underscores the fact that an overall U.S. employment recovery will not be successful unless the hard-hit travel and tourism industry can be safely restarted. U.S. Travel President and CEO Roger Dow says most jarring is that 40% of excess U.S. unemployment is in the leisure and hospitality sector, despite that sector accounting for just 11% of all pre-pandemic employment in the U.S. U.S. Travel and other travel industry groups, including ASTA, have called for a series of legislative priorities that should be included in a final relief deal, particularly the enhancement and expansion of the Paycheck Protection Program to provide aid to travel organizations that have yet to be able to access that program. Now, meanwhile, ASTA says the main hangups to getting more government relief appear to be the overall price tag, assistance for state and local governments, and expanded unemployment assistance. After the talks collapsed, President Trump signed a series of executive orders aimed at restoring enhanced unemployment benefits, deferring payroll taxes and student loan payments, and protecting renters. But it doesn't appear those measures will do much to provide help to travel agencies. ASTA, which had warned that 71% of its travel agency members could go out of business within 6 months without government relief, says it is unclear what happens next beyond a lot of jockeying back and forth this week in Congress. Both chambers of Congress were out of session last week, but they could be called back this week to vote at any time. Now, ASTA says it is critical that travel advisors keep the pressure on members of Congress, who need to be hearing from constituents not only about the content of the final bill, but also about the need to come to an overall agreement as quickly as possible. The future of the travel agency distribution system could be in the balance. And on Friday, ASTA President Zane Kirby put out a press release and a video headlined, "Congress needs a one-way ticket back to the Capitol to focus on relief legislation." Against this backdrop of human suffering, extraordinary job loss, and business failure, and impending eviction, our elected leaders decided to leave the city for their August summer recess, Kirby said. They have done so without coming to any agreement on additional COVID relief. Nearly 80% of our members applied for and received relief from the unprecedented relief programs earlier this year. And even with that assistance, a vast majority of U.S. travel agencies will still go out of business in less than a year if they don't get more support. My message to Congress is simple, Kirby said. Get back to work and support the small businesses who desperately need your help. And to his travel advisor members, Kirby added, even if you have done so already, we urge you to contact your congressional representatives and tell them to get back to work. The future of our industry depends on it. Alan, over to you.
My favorite part of Zane Kirby's statement about the Congress needing a one-way ticket back to the Capitol was his hint that he knew about 15,000 travel advisors who'd love to book them.
Yeah, well, they should book a lot of them and head them back, because right now it's a rather dire situation, and we need to get another relief package passed through Congress to get us through till 2021.
So how bad was the COVID-19 pandemic for major travel companies? Second quarter results have been coming in and the news wasn't good. For the period when the coronavirus was just starting to hit hard, here are two second quarter examples for Royal Caribbean Group and Marriott International. Royal Caribbean, noting that its results reflected the suspension of its global cruise operations since March 13, 2020, reported a net loss of $1.3 billion compared to an adjusted net income of $532.7 million in the same quarter a year ago. The COVID-19 pandemic is posing an unprecedented challenge to our industry and society, said Richard Fain, chairman and CEO of Royal Caribbean. Our teams are working tirelessly to return to service soon, and doing so by developing new health and safety protocols to protect the well-being of our guests, crew, and destinations we visit. In the meantime, we're using this time to refine our operations to be as efficient as we can while still providing great experiences that so many people are eagerly awaiting. During the same second quarter period, Marriott International reported a net loss of $234 million compared to a reported net income of $232 million in the same quarter a year ago. While our business continues to be profoundly impacted by COVID-19, we are seeing steady signs of demand returning, said Arne Sorensen, president and CEO of Marriott. Sorensen said over the last few months, Marriott has moved quickly and decisively to mitigate the impact of COVID-19 on its business. While a full recovery from COVID-19 will clearly take time, he said, the current trends we are seeing reinforce our view that when people feel safe traveling, demand returns quickly. The story is much the same for all other major travel companies hit hard by the pandemic in the second quarter, and hopefully we'll see an improvement in the third quarter numbers. James?
This week, I was supposed to be attending the Virtuoso Travel Week in Las Vegas, something I've done for nearly 20 years, and the event has become one of the largest in the industry, with more than 6,500 attendees last year, more than half of them travel advisors. This year, instead of the Bellagio ballrooms, Virtuoso delegates found themselves transported to the digital universe as Virtuoso held its very first virtual Virtuoso Travel Week due to the coronavirus pandemic. The virtual event did a pretty good job of mimicking the live event and attracted more than 4,000 Virtuoso travel advisors and preferred partners. Now, there was a general session complete with professional singers, Virtuoso executives providing survey numbers, and moderating panels. An interview with Gloria Guevara, president and CEO of the World Travel and Tourism Council, by Virtuoso chairman Matthew Upchurch, and a message from Upchurch himself to Virtuoso members. Let's hear a bit of what Matthew Upchurch had to say.
Hello, Virtuoso family. Last August, we were sharing that heart energy that bonds us together when we're face to face. I remember so clearly the energy, the relationships, connections that now provide us with resilience during these difficult and uncertain days. Now, given all the time zones involved, Zoom fatigue, and financial pressures, it's truly heartening to see your continued passion for human connection. And it's very real professional value. So thank you for being here.
For the rest of the week, Virtuoso travel advisors could engage with their supplier partners during the sometimes infamous 4 and 10 minute meetings, with more than 45,000 meetings taking place over 4 days. Advisors also could attend supplier panels and educational sessions. Finally, the closing general session again featured music, Virtuoso executives talking about some of the group's latest innovations, and a keynote address by Sheila Johnson, who founded Salamander Hotels, as well as the BET cable TV network. There was even music provided by the DJ that Upchurch has enlisted for previous Virtuoso travel weeks during the final Club V party. All in all, it was a successful event, but I have to say, I really hope we're back in Vegas next year. While there was online networking available, there's nothing like a live Virtuoso Travel Week for some serious and sustained encounters with many of the top travel executives and travel advisors in the business today. Alan, I believe you have actually a real Las Vegas story for us now.
Well, this is an interesting thing. MGM Resorts last week announced that IAC, Interactive Corp., the media technology giant founded and led by Barry Diller, has made a significant investment in MGM Resorts. And while MGM Resorts would not say the exact amount, Diller's company said it had purchased $1 billion or 12% of the MGM Resorts stock. Diller, of course, owns much more than just IAC. He currently is chairman of Expedia Group, the online travel conglomerate. So why would he want to buy a casino resort company? If he wants to gamble, he could just sit at a craps table. Turns out the deal is not about Vegas or casinos, but online gaming. In a letter to IAC shareholders, Diller pointed out that MGM is a leader in gaming, hospitality, and leisure with a storied brand and an enviable market position. But that's not what drove IAC to buy its MGM stake. We have a history and much experience in online commerce, Diller said. So we began our analysis with a focus on a small piece of MGM, a portion of its revenue so small that it rounds down to zero, its online gaming revenue. We followed the online gaming space for a while, looking for an opportunity to enter, but we were generally unsatisfied with the landscape we saw. Well, so now IAC has found its opportunity to enter the online gaming. Whether it gets interested in MGM's physical casinos on the Vegas Strip and around the country remains to be seen. But MGM Resorts certainly has a lot of rooms the Expedia Group could sell in the future. James.
Now I want to take a moment to remember a good friend in travel who just left us. The news came over numerous Facebook posts and spread around the industry last week. Jim Smith, a veteran travel industry executive and consultant who was a ubiquitous presence at nearly every industry event I've attended for 25, 30 years, died last week at age 65. Far too early for everyone who knew him. Now, we all have our Jim Smith stories because we all spent time with him. Smitty, as we called him, was one of those guys who just reeked of travel. He was a 21-year cancer survivor and was quick to let you know about his experience. He loved rock music and spent quite a lot of time going to concerts with his favorite bands. Most recently, Jim served as president and CEO of his own consulting company. He touted his ability to help clients in business turnarounds in different industries. He also worked with Special Needs Group, a company that also became his passion as he promoted the vital work it did to help travelers with disabilities get scooters, wheelchairs, oxygen, and other equipment for their trips. Most of us first encountered Jim when he served as president of the Jim Consortium back in the 1980s and 1990s. And that organization was eventually sold to what became Vacation.com, now Travel Leaders Network. After Jim was sold, Jim tried to start his own consortium called Funtan, which launched with a great party and many of the travel agencies that he brought along with him from Jim. Ultimately, however, Funtan did not succeed, and Jim moved on to other things in travel. But it was always travel and rock music that ignited his passions. Jim served as a consultant and senior vice president of industry relations at Auto Europe, director of marketing for Cruise Lines International Association, vice president of sales and travel industry marketing at Delta Vacations, and sales director at National Car Rental, all of which explains why you would see him at nearly every major ASTA and consortium meeting in the U.S. Smitty was part of our family of travel that we now miss so much this year during the pandemic. And now when we get back to those meetings, we will all miss him very much as well. Rock on, Smitty.
It's amazing how many videos you can amass over the years if you produce at least one a day and you don't stop for rain, sleet, hail, or COVID-19. On Monday, August 10, Insider Travel Report released video number 1000, the second episode of this ITR-TV news program, Travel in 10. But you can find all 1,000 videos archived on the ITR website as well as on the ITR YouTube channel. And right now, you can search by title and description, but we're working on a way to search by the very words spoken during the interviews. More on that soon, I hope. A little slow on the uptake, it only recently occurred to us that the audio of our many video interviews would make great podcasts. So on those rare occasions when you have no time to watch our videos, you can just search for Insider Travel Report on such podcast apps as iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Alexa, Podbeam, or Google Podcasts.
So that's it for this week's edition of ITR-TV's Travel in 10. We hope you found this program interesting and beneficial to your business. And we hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next Monday.
Good luck, stay safe, and remember, travel's the only thing you buy that makes you richer.